Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Perth Fit Fam podcast. It's actually episode number 49 and we have a guest all the way from Greece who will be coming to Perth for his Fighting Monkey courses in October, so I'll let you guys know about that. But it's Josef Fruchek, I think I've got that right, who, like I said, he's out of Greece. He runs Fighting Monkey, which is a movement program helping people get better movement back. He will be coming to Perth at Aspen Coaching in Mount Hawthorne from the 19th to the 20th of October for an open workout. And for those who want to learn more in-depth information and how to practice the Fighting Monkey technique from the 23rd to the 27th of October for his full intensive workshops. So we will put those in the show notes for you guys. But this is episode number 49 with Josef Fruchek. And as always, the Perth Fit Fam podcast is brought to you by True Protein. True is unafraid to cut through the noise of an oversaturated market and break the mold to deliver authentic, all-natural products with genuine health benefits and none of the fake stuff. True have bucked the trend for expensive, overhyped, bad-tasting protein powders and supplements packed with false promises to reinvent the marketplace and create a 100% natural, delicious, quality protein with no gimmicks, nothing artificial, and a completely transparent ingredient list. If you've never tried True, I highly recommend jumping on the website, getting a sample pack of their WPI or their vegan, testing it out for yourself, because 100% guaranteed you will love it. It will be the best tasting and quality protein you've ever tried. So that's trueprotein.com.au, and if you use the code PerthFitFam10, you will get an exclusive 10% PerthFitFam discount. So that is all. Josef Fruchek from Fighting Monkey on episode number 49 of the Perfect Fan podcast.
Don't worry about it. We'll just do the audio. That's all cool. I got to ask though, Fruchek?
Fruchek.
Fruchek. I knew that I would put my Aussie accent on it, and that was me trying the best not to. Fruchek. Well, let's get this thing kicked off. Josef Fruchek. Fruchek from Fighting Monkey, okay. All the way from Greece.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
That's cool. So you're going to be over here in Perth. We're going to talk about the workshops a little bit later, but you're coming over to Perth for the second time. But you run this culture, this community called Fighting Monkey, which is going around the world. But tell us a little bit about Fighting Monkey before we kick off. What is Fighting Monkey?
Okay, I get this question very often, but basically it could be kind of distilled into three basic components. And the three basic components is how do we acquire skills and knowledge? So it means how we are learning. What is the process of learning? So how we can, from the environment, how we can find the knowledge that is valuable for us and how we can improve our life, right? So that's the first component. Second element is how we express that knowledge. So it means we have certain knowledge, we have certain skills, but it's necessary to exchange it. So what is the way how we would be expressing that knowledge? And the third one, can we, on top of that pool of knowledge that we have, can we improve the strategies in order to meet the demands of our everyday life? And of course, we are doing it through the means of movement. We are doing it through the means of movement situations. We are doing it through the means of concepts that we have created, like earthquake resistance architecture, because it is very difficult to catch the mind only through talking, or it's very difficult just to talk about things, but we really need to test them and experience them in the space in order to understand if our knowledge is valuable, if we can truly express it, and if we can improve our way of living.
So, to bring that down, because I'm interested in the knowledge component of it. So how does that apply, like acquiring knowledge, which is expressed through movement, how does that apply to everyday life?
Well, life throws at us, if we would be talking in a very simple term so the listeners would understand, there are only two things you really need to learn in your life. One thing is that you kind of need to love life. Love life means that you do not attend life mechanically. So that means loving life means that you're participating in some creative way. So you are not just a machine. You are not just going to do your workout. You are not just going to your work. You are not unhappy person. You are thriving. You create a meaningful relations. right? That's one thing. And a second thing that is absolutely important component in our life is that life throws at us different challenges. Are we able to solve them? So these are really only two things we need to do in our life. Not attend life mechanically. And the second thing, if there is a trouble, can we change the trouble, the problem into an opportunity and learn something from that? Can we create an interesting network? Because of course, solving problems in life or solving challenges in life is a question of how valuable is your, not only your neural network or your bodily network, but also that how your brain is leaking into other people and how together with other relations, you're able to overcome an obstacle that might come into your life.
So then to give people a picture, because people are going to be listening to an audio so they can understand what Fighting Monkey looks like, what happens within a class or within a session that you do? Like how many people are there? How's it run? What does it look like?
Well, it always depends on the format, but let's say the Australian workshop will be around 20-30 people, I guess. And what we'll be going through in open workshops or in athletic development workshop, we will try to kind of cover a basic components from which a good, to my opinion, through our like 15-20 years of research, what could be the components of a good training. So basically our research is based on basically six different domains. And the first domain is finding your individual biological signature. So through different types of internal training, you are looking for what is your composition, what is your unique biological composition, how even in a practical sense, if you're taller or shorter, what is the composition between upper body and the lower body, in a kind of oversimplified version, it is you give someone a herbal tea when they have a stomach ache and suddenly the stomach ache is gone, and you give the same herbal tea to someone else and it doesn't work. And so we really need to understand not only our unique composition, so what is our homeostasis and how to sustain that health within our system, but rather an allostatic interrelation means that how do I achieve my health balance in dialogue with the dynamic environment within which we are. That's a first kind of part. So you could imagine it as articulating your joints and finding better rhythm and coordination and looking for these invisible connections between movement and function of your organs or your volition or your willfulness inside of your practice and how your thoughts, how your ideokinesis can change your movement, can change your attendance to your own self. The second domain is a striking form. Striking forms, again, in very simple terms, is if you would be talking about martial arts, so striking forms is boxing. And then from boxing, everything evolves, all other different type of martial arts that are derived from striking. But striking is also in relation to anthropology. So human beings were on four, but they stood up, the hands got liberated, the vision got better, language was created, and we were amazing kind of researchers of the landscape. We were searching for energy resources, and we were able to throw, and so we coordinate very well. And somehow the domain of coordination, the domain of throwing, is like experiencing anthropology through movement rather than just learning some kind of sport specific coordinations, but understanding how we biomechanically move better, but also outside of the cultural base. So I'm a baseball player, so I do movement only in this way, or I'm a football player, but it's kind of what are the sub coordinations for a human being, because we move in very similar way if we have two legs, two arms, and one head. The third domain is body practice. Body practice is again wrestling. So we have the striking, then we go to wrestling. So it is like when two bodies are together. So this is how the society works. So they have, two bodies are close. And so it is from touch to heal, to do osteopathy, physiotherapy or whatever, or going into a direction of wrestling, fighting together, competing together. And as you see, throughout different cultures, every culture has striking or wrestling. And they are not only representation of a fighting, they are not only representation of a struggle between other human beings, but it is a way of learning communication. So wrestling can be a beginning of all the healing arts that are done through touch and hugging. It is as important as when you do not touch the kid, when kid is born and you do not touch and you do not map their body, do you help them to map the body, they will not develop properly, right? So these are like at first three domains that are very important for us. This is understanding like a classical physics. And then we move in a domain of modern physics in some way. That means how on top of that very important understanding how we function in a physical world, how we express ourselves in our very unique voice. So we call it a tribal dancing, but it doesn't mean that we are dancing in a, around the fire. Tribal dancing means that I am doing a judo, but I do judo in my very particular way. So when we've been working with an Olympic champion in judo, he said, I don't do just judo, this is my judo. So when you're a sculptor, you also sculpt in a way you sculpt. So you see the world in a very particular angle. So this is the, like a four domains. And the fifth one is that we, in some occasion, in some workshops, not in maybe in Australia, we are still discussing what will be done, but we're creating abstract tools and sculpting. So it means you are able to sculpt things around you, that you're able to change the material. So you are like a, you are like an architect, you are like you're someone, chemist that can do things. So it can alter the environment in a very physical sense. So not only conceptualizing about, well, I would like my environment be better, but you're able to create a tool, and with the tool you can create another tool on a, or an object. And if I cover it all, then overall it is training of effective communication. So we want to be understood and we want to understand the world. So this would be like, if this would give any image of how the workshop would look like, but in a kind of conceptual way, this is how I would express what we are doing in the last 15, 20 years.
So over the, I guess over the past few years, I've seen a massive rise in this movement sort of culture. So, you know, Ida Patel has his, we have a lot of calisthenics, bodyweight places like Aspen, so where you're going to be at, Wim Hof with a lot of his breathing, cold water submersions. Do you think that things like fighting monkey are important in society today because we're so disconnected from being human beings? Like, we miss out on a lot of these things, like you say, the touch, the connection with the brain, how we're supposed to work, the communication.
Well, it depends. It depends on how formal or dogmatic is your training. If you're preaching for what you think is the best for other people, or if you're rather giving people creative tools that they can improve their own life. So, you know, we've been traveling around the globe for some time. And what strikes me the most is that in many different corners of the world, people would be in aesthetical way, and this is in negative kind of sense mentioned.
So you mean like the body shape? Like the way that we look?
The way the body, the way the people move, the vocabulary they choose was suddenly very similar to different corners. And we realized this was thanks to a very great authorities in that are moving around. And somehow we are like a copying machine. We like the modern society is learning through photocopy. Like, you get university, you get a book, and the library and everything is available. And you know, when I was in university for a really long time, and I am invited back again to university to finish my professor. And the challenge there is that, you know, like, we like to attend things mechanically, and somehow I do not like to participate in the cultural involvement. So if fighting monkey would become like my agenda for how I like to move, and therefore you have to move this same way, then I rather do not want to do it. I rather stop right now and I spend time with my kids and my family, and I leave this domain completely. But if my role is to, it is of course a challenge, physical but also intellectual challenge, if how can I offer you tools that will help you to improve your thinking in your own context rather than absorbing my only my world? So this is a great importance to me. So if all the things that are offered are not agenda related and are not manipulative, but rather offering new solutions for, then yes, then I think it has a great importance. But of course, it has been here for many, many years. Not only now, the movement idea is here for such a long time. It is only now maybe it got more visible in a popular culture.
Yeah, that's right. So you mentioned that you've been developing Fighting Monkey for, I think you said 20 years. So what's your background? Like, where did you come from before doing this?
So maybe what is important to say that I'm not the only brain behind it. I do it with my wife. So my wife, she was a champion in sport gymnastics on a very high level, very successful. But eventually she became tall, and there is a time in your life that you basically need to stop to compete. And then she was thinking what to do, and she threw herself into a physical education. She was very good dancer. She threw herself into art, also traveled the world. And I had a very similar pathway. My father always wanted that I am a champion in sport. So from a very early age, you know, East European kind of spirit, Russian-like, you know, like this Spartan kind of education. So I was burdened by this idea that I have to be strong and whatever achieve in my life. But I didn't like it that much as a kid. I didn't understand the meaning of it. And I kind of escaped from gym. I ran away from the training hall, and I found a theater school as a child, and I went there myself, and I discovered a world of self-expression, voice, acting, theater, and I understood, wow, this is also an interesting world. But then after a while, I throw again myself back into the sports, and until I was selected to national team. And then again, I left it just before something would happen. I again back went into art. So we both, me and my wife, we were oscillating between and sports. So there are two worlds within which in sport you have defined rules and you know how to measure things. You put a goal or you do not put the goal. It's everything is very clear. And art, on the other hand, is all unmeasurable. Something that is about, I see the world in my particular way, so I can bend the rules and I can alter the world that I'm attending to, right? And this combination of these possibilities gave us a much greater spectrum of living options, right? So so this kind of started to formulate things. And of course, I did my doctorate study in university, and I spent there many years, and I was working with the really great authorities in the field that I've been working in. And so I got a really great knowledge and attitude how to work systematically and how to put things in order in a way that also someone else would have looked at them. So these things were formulating the art that we are now sharing with other people. But really, Fighting Monkey was publicly open only in 2015. Before, we were more in the festivals and in the schools, but only after someone said, well, maybe some other people would benefit as well. So somewhere in May of 2015, we had the first public workshop open to anyone.
I think it's really interesting what you said, like going through art and that opening the horizon, whereas sport is traditionally really structured. When I first got introduced to, I guess, the calisthenics or the movement culture or ninja. So Ninja Warrior is quite big over here. And we have an amazing facility over here. And I couldn't wrap, especially Ninja, I couldn't wrap my head around the facility, because I come from a bodybuilding or a CrossFit background where you go in, you know, there's targets to meet, there's times to meet, there's competition, where in this it was more, and I've said it on a podcast before, like the handstand culture. I said it reminds me more of skateboarding. So where we're from, like, you know, you have your skaters, they hang out, they just do tricks, but they kind of like live it in a non-structured sort of way. And I think it brings something very different compared to the industry which I generally grew up in.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like it depends what you're interested in. Like I was working with a fire, how do you call the fire people? How do you call them?
The performers, like the dancing performers, the fire spinners?
No, the rescuers, how you call
them? Firefighters.
Firefighters.
Gotcha. Yeah.
People with the people from special forces, and what we were mainly discussing about the open concepts, you know, because life unfortunately doesn't go as we imagine. I mean, we have some plan, some strategy, and there are some rules, etc. But it's usually what you use in your life is a B plan. And a B plan, because things are not evolving as we want them to evolve. And so I was always interested, okay, the sport is happening between four lines. Rules can be defined and you can be a black belt or you can be a champion in something. But in life, it's very difficult to be a black belt. And that is for one simple reason, because one of these four lines gets open and rules are being introduced inside that were not before introduced. And it is similar to a children game. So when I'm catching, when we play a hide and seek or catch me if you can with my kids, and you know, I run after my son and I catch him and he suddenly he turns and he says, no, you cannot touch me now, you know, like this doesn't count. And I said, why it doesn't count? I said, well, because you cannot touch me on the shoulder. And I said, okay, but you didn't say that before. And he said, no, but I'm telling you right now. And then the game continues and then you touch him again. And he said, no, it doesn't count again. And he said, why doesn't count? I said, well, I mean, the corner is my house. And they constantly change the rules and you get upset and then you do not want to play and then you want to play. And you realize, oh my God, this is a representation of life. The rules are always being changed. And the question is, how fast can you adapt to changing environment and changing rules? So how do you practice in your life? We put it this sentence, how do you practice today if you do not know what tomorrow brings? Why are you always repeating the same drills and skills? Well, it's obvious because you feel great about yourself. Because you live such a chaotic life, you want to finally be in control. So please give me that weight and let me to lift it 5 times in a 5 sets and then add me a 2 kilograms so I know I'm making a progress. There is something tangible because we are so insecure in ourselves. If you get something unstructured, it really needs much more attention. But we finish our work and we are so tired. So you always ask, please give me something simple and let me to repeat it so I'm happy about my life. But the question is, can we make a leap, human leap, that we attend things creatively so we are inspired, we are able to alter things, we are able to create a creative tools that allow us to be more flexible in life rather than only simply repeating a certain drills and protocols. People always say, I give you a protocol, how to do this, how to save your elbow. I give you how to maintain your body. You don't want to maintain your body. Your body is not a machine. It's like interconnected systems. It requires a little bit more attention of yourself. If you're just mechanically repeating a workout, there will be very little benefit in a long run. So can you create a practice that gives you energetical surplus? You need more energy. And why you need more energy? Because more energy allows a transformation. I met so many people, they know they have to change something in their life. They know it. But they have no energy to make a change. So they run on the same automatic pilot all the time until they wear off their mind, until they wear off their body. They end up 60 years old or 50 years old. Their joints are not working and they're unhappy. So I personally wouldn't like to participate in that kind of development. And luckily, I had the opportunity to be in a university settings where you know what is your salary, you know you have your students, so you really can only concentrate honestly in what you are doing. You are not melted through the popular culture where you need to run after your students and make them more comfortable. Mm-hmm. So when we were sitting once with my wife, we said how we could teach people and is there anything we can be teaching them? And we said, no, we're gonna design movement situations within which we test their knowledge and test their behavioral adaptability. And according to what we see, we will alter the rules again to help them to improve. And we said, what is this type of practice? This type of practice is like if you're teaching your own kids. You don't want your kids to be dependent on you. You want that they have abilities to stand on their own feet and eventually leave you and become greater than you. But where in the world you would like to find a master that would like that you become greater than you? If you give information to people, you make them more independent. And they're more likely will not only stay with you, they will stay with multiple people because we need to draw the information from multiple points. Because if you have a concentration, like a neural concentration, if your movement, let's say, if you talk practically, if your movement skills are like concentrated on one neural cluster and are not incorporating other parts of your brain, well, when you get a head stroke and that part dies, everything dies with it. So how we can create in a training overlapping networks, neural networks, bodily networks, and dialogue networks that go into environment that when we are in a time of trouble, we are able to take from different resources the energy and information.
Now, one thing that I saw on the website, which I thought was really cool, in the opening, I guess, start of it with an explainer of Fighting Monkey. So it says, move with grace as you age, create an energy surplus to transform obstacles into opportunities. So like, how does that work? Like, how do you guys make that, like through the Fighting Monkey practice, how do you make that happen? And who benefits out of it? Who comes to Fighting Monkey?
So some of our trainers, they work with kids. Some of our trainers, they work with the elderly people. They have this middle, most uninteresting part of the population where everyone is healthy and happy and no one knows what they're doing. We had them kind of all, not me personally, but through the network of people that we work with, they tried our things, people with Alzheimer's, people with after injuries. We have people that are running physio clinics and are learning from us. So the application is wide. Well, it depends really. The magical word is always it depends. So when we have an open workshop, we touch on many different things. So we usually start with zero forms and we try to understand how does the body works. How do you sound the best with you, right? Not only in relation to your voice, but also to your body. And we explain the concepts of how the training can be composed and how it can be altered in a different situations when you're healthy, when you're sick, when your joints are not working, when you have already inflammation, or how do you practice in the evening, in the morning, how does it affect your well-being, etc. Then we go into kind of what we call a movement situation. Movement situations are obstacle games. Obstacle games, that means I create a certain obstacle and without any further instruction, you're trying to solve those obstacles. They could be games that are relating more like a grappling games, but there are limitations, what you can or what you cannot do. Or you have to complete some memory tasks while you are moving. And as you are completing these games, it's very difficult to be self-aware. So it means we are you immerse in the game, and so you lost yourself there, and so you are a little bit more exposed. So we can be observing deeper layer of your, like a sub-coordination layers, if there are some gaps. So it means that you are moving perfect. But when you have to compute something while you're moving and need to interact with someone else, react on someone else, there is a great decrease on how you move and what is the quality of you. And your being shows us where are those deficiencies. And then we, not always on a one person, but we take as a general how the group behaves. And then we identify those things that we've seen, and then we give a feedback, and then we move again into that game and we see if we can improve. And then we are observing what is the process of solving. You basically question why some people can adapt better in life and why some people always stay the same. And your role as an educator is to help find the tricks, positive tricks, how to attune the person to in a more creative way to solve the troubles. So it can be on the layer of your how you perceive the world and what you bring into existence, or how you move purely, how do you move your joints around, and if you're damaging them or if you can improve them, or it can be in a way you analyze things. So it goes through all the layers, and we really need to understand that we don't have 12 systems in the body. There is just one system. There is no like upper body and the lower, but there is only one body, and that one body is a one animal. And unless that one body moves in a rhythm and proper coordination, there is no kinetic potential. because when we say how the human body develops, so we say coordination, rhythm, kinetic potential, power exploration, and strength. And the strength comes only at the end. But of course, our society is focused on strength because we think with strength we're gonna solve the trouble. But actually, it is the rhythm and coordination, how, because your knowledge has to be placed in the right time and space. What we are interested in, how we act in uncertainty and risk. Because when life is easy and you have an endless amount of time and energy to research and then see how you apply your knowledge, everything is okay. But we usually act under circumstances of pressure. And so how you act in circumstances of pressure, how you, what is your perception of the space, which kind of solutions you're finding, etc.
Now, with the Fighting Monkey classes and the education that's provided, how is it usually practiced? Is it usually in a group class environment, or are people that participate within Fighting Monkey, do they then get the skills to be able to do things like at home as well?
Okay.
Is it like a daily thing, or is it like a you just go to class and do it at class?
Okay, so there are different layers. The, when it comes to zero forms, it's something extremely sophisticated. So there is, at the moment, online coaching, if someone would do, there is more than 700 tutorial videos that we help through. There is a one-on-one dialogue always, so we kind of still keep it a very high class exclusive thing. So when you work with us on online coaching, there is nothing automated. It means that we are having a dialogue together. We are identifying what might be the possible solutions or how we're gonna go around what has to be improved. They are supporting videos, around 700 videos, plus we are filming new in case there is a necessity. So this is like a super top thing. We work with people from NHL and some very special individuals. Then, and that also let's say you've been in a workshop and you like the zero forms very much, you think you might be benefiting, etc. So you can always buy an online course on legs or on spine, etc. So there is also this thing, but it is organized in such a way that you need to see us in order to buy it, meaning that we are not making it easily accessible to anyone. So you are in US and you see it and you say, wow, in 12 weeks I will be done and I have a special progression and I understand it all. We are organizing our knowledge in a little bit more challenging way, so it means you need to study. And of course that some people would say it's stupid for my company, why do I not promise and make it easier? But I believe humans are very creative, I believe humans are complex, and so we need to train in a complex way, and I still like to invest people in such a way that in 20 years they will be giving me a good feedback, not in 3 weeks or 3 months. So this is another aspect. And then, of course, we give them a lot of educational cycles that they can follow with us. So so during the workshop, you have things that you can learn in the moment, but you can also require more in-depth information later on when it finishes. So these are the different layers. But, of course, I told you that I do not like to teach people through photocopy, so they need to be active participants of their education. But of course, people do not have to be scared. You know, it's not like they go to university, but it's but it is a study.
Now, with because you mentioned you work with NHL athletes. So my question was, and what I find interesting is with Fighting Monkey and getting these movement patterns, kinetic, is it suitable as like a supplementary program to someone who's an athlete, a runner, a CrossFitter, whatever, or is it like a standalone sort of thing where people will just do Fighting Monkey and that's their fitness program?
Well, this is a very good question. So just not to, first thing, not to make myself bigger than I am. It's not like a whole world is trying to train with us and we have all the gold medalists, but we have some really high level people but mainly it is for ordinary people. And this is my main interest, because we always look up in the sports, but we need to understand that sport is an entertainment and people are usually abused there. The reason why athletes would come is because they need to help their joints and they need to continue their career. That's why some of those meetings are happening. If nothing is happening and you're healthy and there is no problem, you don't need anything extra, right? If you're a boxer, just box. If you're a football player, just play football. But if you had a concussion or you have a repeatedly problem in your knees, then maybe you will search for our help. And you search for alternatives, because you cannot always depend on a physio who's coming and is fixing you, but you need to eventually create a training pattern that will allow you to self-heal and create creative properties that will allow you to execute your sport better, right? Mm. Now, if you want to fighting man, yes, you can. There will be always things that will be missing, because one, no matter how creative the domain of Fighting Monkey is, it cannot cover the individuality, it cannot cover the different contexts in which people live. So I can do very well with Fighting Monkey because it includes boxing, it includes wrestling, and our games are being developed with a national coach of wrestling, a free wrestling guy who grew our world champions, right? So I've worked with people in boxing that have grew really great fighters. So we consult with those people. So you have quite rich training opportunities. But what I believe in personally, of course, I would like that the whole world is doing only Fighting Monkey and I'm the best master in the world and they all love me and I solve the problem for their life. But in depth of my heart, I know that you're a climber. So what do you need to do Fighting Monkey? Well, you need to do Fighting Monkey only to the extent that maybe you need more attention, how you attend to the rock. You maybe need a more healthy shoulders, or maybe you need a better coordination in some aspect that you cannot do alone, but you need that someone looks at you. So then this is very important. Or maybe you're a boxer and you had a concussion, and so can we improve your balance, or can we improve again your vision, or can we improve more your footwork, so you might be solving the troubles in a more easy way. When it comes to a sport specific solutions, if we always need to collaborate with experts from their field. How anyone would expect that me or anyone else from any other method around the world from movement would solve problem from any sports. We don't understand those sports. So there is a trainer, there is a coach, there is a strength conditioning coach, etc. They understand the very crucial aspect of strategy and the different demands of those sports. So we are coming in as someone who refreshes the air and someone who gives it another kickstart, you know, so you can start anew and you can see things that otherwise were invisible for you. And we sometimes use very unorthodox methods for it. So it means we can shatter your world sometimes. I mean, we throw everything to garbage and we start to rebuild again. And that rebuild moment can also does something very refreshing to your nervous system. And so you can maybe have more vision, desire to move and improve.
Now, you have traveled around the world with Fighting Monkey doing your workshops. You come into Perth, but what's your highlight been so far since kicking off in 2015? I'm sure you would have seen a lot of things.
My highlight? You know, when I get person that fought, when I get person that seen our practice and they say they cannot do it and they are doing it and their health is improving, that's the biggest success. If someone posts something on Facebook or Instagram and they, you know, we are not supporting that very much, but mainly when someone writes me an email and say, Joseph, I think I benefited. It seems like on a longer run, I have benefits. That for me is like the greatest reward. And that's why I, at this very moment, as we are talking right now, I feel like a multimillionaire, because that kind of investment makes me most happy. That kind of social reward for me is the highlight of my work. There are also these bright things, you know, like where you get the most of applause or people like, give you a click. But in fact, these things are coming and going and didn't give me this kind of long-lasting rush of endorphin in my structure, you know. So I as a person get very happy from invisible, from a small changes. And so because I am attentive to a small, I can be longer happy. I don't need a really great ovation in order to smile in my day. I'm happy when I see my kids' face and I recognize their faces anew. Again, that makes me that gives me a great fuel to continue the day or to continue the work that I'm doing.
That was really, really well put. Really nicely said. So Fighting Monkey will be coming to Perth. You are doing two workshops whilst you're here. So the open workout on the 19th and 20th, and then the full intensive course on the 23rd to the 27th of October. So first of all, the 19th and the 20th of the open workout. So who should go to that and what should they expect?
Everyone should come and they should expect immortality. They will all get immortal and healthy for the rest of their life. They'll be just happy and smiling and their life will go better and better.
that's a good pitch.
In an ideal world, this is what they will get. And of course, no, they will get challenged. They will get challenged in a nicely way. It's not challenged in a sense that they will get broken in home and they will feel like, oh, I cannot do anything. But they will get challenged in a way how we question the things and let's see what we will be testing, how healthy are their joints, which can be sometimes very, not very pleasant many times. But for many times, this is a great feedback. You get a feedback, well, my hips, I'm 25 years old, or maybe my hips are as old as 50 years old person. And that's amazing because you rather realize that before the trouble is there and so you have enough time to do something about it. So that's an open workshop. And in intensive, I will be giving to people 200 pages book. They will be getting some other presents and I'll be sharing with them research pathways for establishing for themselves a better movement practice and maybe developing for themselves the best landscape as a teachers, as a coaches, as someone, as a physiotherapist or teachers in the schools or whatever. So intensive is mainly to train together, but go in depth of underlying aspects that give birth to those different beautiful things that you can share on social media.
So with the intensive, if somebody does the intensive and they're a personal trainer or a coach, does that allow them to be able, like, do they become part of a Fighting Monkey network where they can teach these methods to people? Or is it not like that? It's just for their own personal education?
Well, this is very well placed question. I mean, we are questioning this all the time. So you participating, you get a great amount of information. If you can always use the information any way you like, there is no policeman that is going behind you and telling you what you can or you cannot do. If you would like to associate yourself with us in some way because you feel inspired, we are here to support your development and eventually you might become a Fighting Monkey instructor or a teacher eventually of some domain. So there's this educational pathway that is open and we are opening it slowly. As I said, it's not the best economical model, but it's the honest model. So it doesn't mean because you pay, you're going to get everything. You pay and you participate, but we also need to see how you are working. So you spread a good word and you spread a good practice so it doesn't get rotten just because I want to have more certified teachers so it spreads like a virus. And also, if anyone feels interested, there is a plenty of opportunities to visit us again and alter the practice towards their needs and towards their environment.
I love it. I love how you put that, how you've positioned yourself and Fighting Monkey, that you could expand it, you could grow, you could license things out, but for you, like, the quality is like very important and keeping things very genuine and not commercial. So yeah, it's really fresh to hear.
Well, it's not easy. it's ideal, but because of course people have expectations. Our people, we have like 80% return of people that have been working with us, so I'm very happy. But of course they expect eventually to gain something from it. So I am exploring that, but together with my students, not together with my business partner, right? So we are discussing with the students, what is the way that you would feel comfortable and qualified on spreading the news, right? So you cannot be qualified in everything immediately. How are you going to be qualified in anything in 2 days workshop or the 1 year? You know, maybe I'm coming from a more, I don't know how to say, but you know, I for my PhD when I was, you know, younger, I spent 8 years to kind of complete the research, and at the end I finished it, I was like, well, it wasn't well done. And you know, I have permission from one of the really great Chinese doctors that is a really respected person and published many books and been in a national Chinese committee about traditional Chinese medicine. I have a diploma from that guy, and no one even knows because I just don't feel qualified. I mean, teaching those for which I got a diploma. So I don't give a courses on Chinese medicine, or I don't give a courses on kind of Qigong or whatever, because I think it requires another maybe 20 years, but in some aspects it is shared with the other people. It's not necessarily when you got the diploma that you know anything. It's very beautiful, you know, I enjoy my title in front of my name and behind my name, and you know, I'm still continuing the academical achievements, but it's more like a joke rather than truth, because the one thing is a theory, another way is a practice, because yes, something is reading a book, and another thing is, can you put that book in practice? Can you actually find an application for what you're saying, or is it just staying as a theory?
That's cool. I love it. I love it. It's a really good mindset. Josef, thank you so much for being on. So the 19th to the 20th of October and the 23rd to the 27th. And we will put links to your Instagram and the courses in the show notes and push them out there for people. But I look forward to catching up when you're in Perth.
Perfect, perfect. I'm very happy to see you all and muscle you up and challenge your thinking and movement skills.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you very much.
So there we go. That is episode 49 of the Perth Fit Fam podcast with the creator of Fighting Monkey, Josef Fruček, coming to Perth on the 19th to the 20th of October and also the 23rd to the 27th of October at Aspen Coaching in Mount Hawthorne. The details will be in the show notes, or if you'd like to know more, just feel free to shoot us a message and we'll point you in the right direction. And I think that's it. And as always, stay tuned for more of the Perth fitness scene to come.